And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So as you might guess, there is a lot going on in this miracle. But just to keep the main point in focus from the start, let me say this. Jesus' compassion, his provision, stands against the fear and faithlessness that can close our hearts off from compassion for those whom we are given to serve. Not only do we need to address that, but in these culturally troubled times, Paul's words to the church at Rome from chapter 9 of his letter remind us that those of us who are called to life in Christ, who have come to know the living God in his flesh, in his birth, in his death, in his resurrection, we can never give in to anti-Semitism. But we start with Jesus and his compassion, because everything starts there. We spoke of compassion the other week, but as a reminder, compassion is the deep sympathy and affection for another that shares in their trials and afflictions as if they were your own. A few weeks back, Jesus had compassion elicited by seeing the people that they were like sheep without a shepherd, scattered and helpless in the face of the spiritual dangers they faced. So Jesus became their shepherd and began to teach them many things. Here, Jesus' compassion is elicited by seeing the disease and sicknesses that plagued the people who came to him in that desolate place. And so he healed their sick. And with a crowd that large, this was no small thing. There was so much need, so much desperation. Yet Jesus, in love and grace, did the work that was needed. For remember, God, who created us as both spiritual and material beings, desires our well-being spiritually and physically. The work to restore this broken creation is not just about getting everyone right with God once again. It's also about restoring creation itself to the glory and perfection it had in the beginning, where there was no disease, no corruption, no death. Jesus had compassion, and he healed their sick, and he fed them. And this is where his compassion and provision stand over against fear and faithlessness. You all know the story well. As Jesus continued to heal, the day grew late. They were in a desolate place, a good number of miles away from any towns or villages. And the 12, they became increasingly nervous. No one seemed to have brought any provisions along. And if the crowd was going to be able to get back to their homes, get fed, it came to be time to wrap things up. And so very pragmatically, the disciples told Jesus, send them away so that they can get food for themselves. Now, while we may see the sense of what the disciples said here, this is the thing. The people couldn't heal themselves, but Jesus had been healing them all day long. So if the people couldn't feed themselves, well, what would the compassionate Jesus do without batting an eye? But the disciples couldn't see that. All they saw was the need and their lack of resources. And that's what happens when you and I look at the world around us only according to the ordinary way of things, and when we forget who is with us and who is for us and who he is. But Jesus wasn't going to let the disciples' lack of faith and understanding get in the way of things, and he had compassion for them too. He wanted them to be strengthened in faith, and so came his famous challenge. You! Give them something to eat. And that's when fear took hold. They saw the need, 5,000 people, not counting women and children, hungry, in need, and all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, Jesus too, but they weren't getting that part. And here's where you and I get to see ourselves, for there are times when we forget who is with us. There are times when we get gripped by fear, that we don't have nearly enough to address all the needs that cry out to us in our various vocations. And at those times, what happens? We close off compassion and look toward self-preservation. Don't get me wrong. This is all real-life stuff, right? Parents after a long day see that their children need their attention, and it can simply overwhelm. Sometimes we know of folks among our friends or maybe even fellow church members whose challenges seem so daunting, so distressing, that when they turn to us, our temptation is to send them away to some other place, someone else who's better equipped to help. Or maybe it's being confronted by a stranger who doesn't seem quite right, who wants you to give them a couple of bucks. The list can go on and on here, but you get the point. Like the disciples before us, when we forget who is with us, Jesus, and look only at the needs confronting us and the meager resources that we have of our own, fear can close off compassion as we seek to get out from under the calling that is set before us. But Jesus, in the life that he shares with us and calls us to, wants us to be full of faith, free of fear, and compassionate. And in this regard, look at how Jesus deals with both the disciples and the crowd with this miraculous feeding. First, he takes the resources at hand. He has the crowd sit. He blesses God as Father, giving thanks for the provision. Jesus trusted in the Father's will and knows that he was come to do that will. And so he gave thanks, and then he did what was needed. He broke the bread. He handed the bread and the fish to the disciples, and then they distributed what the Father, through the Son, gave them to hand on. It was no longer about what they had of themselves. It was about what they received. Now, in Bible study the other day, we heard of this feeding from Luke, and I opined that after the first round of handing things out, the disciples likely expected to go back to Jesus and find everything gone, but it wasn't. No matter how many times they went back to Jesus, no matter how much the crowd wanted, Jesus had more than enough to give and provided the disciples with what they needed to serve the crowd. Here's what puts fear to flight: the knowledge of and confident in Jesus' ability to provide. When we know he will give us what is needed for us to serve the callings that are set before us, we can let our hearts be open to compassion, trusting that what he does in and through us will be enough, even if it doesn't seem miraculous or even very helpful at all. Hold on to this. Jesus' ability to provide dispels fear. And what about faith in who he is? Well, again, consider this miracle. Bread being provided to people in the wilderness. That ring a bell at all? What Jesus did here was pointing back to Moses and the manna that fed Israel, so that the disciples and all who cared to think about it would recognize the same God was here in Jesus to continue to deliver. And it gets better. When at last the 12 came to the upper room on the night that Jesus was betrayed, what did Jesus do at the table? He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. He handed it to the disciples, this time saying, "This is my body, given for you." Just as he had provided for the 5,000, he provided again for the 12, so that receiving his flesh and blood, they might know forgiveness, and that his death and his resurrection, in that they were being given what was needed for them to go and serve with compassion and serve in his name. They were given to know who he is, the God who provides with them in the flesh. And even more than that, what did Jesus promise during his public ministry? That because of him, as the prophets had promised, a greater banquet was yet to come, where all the redeemed would feast and be satisfied. Friends, we know who Jesus is. We know that he provides. Let us receive what he gives, even himself, the very bread of heaven, so that in compassion and faith, we might hand on what we receive in Christ: his love, his mercy, grace, and hope.